All right, welcome back, everybody. We're jumping straight in. I have the great pleasure of welcoming Sanjay Gupta back to the show. The last time we spoke, Sanjay, was when I was on Madeira. I remember I had a janky setup on the Airbnb kitchen table, and we had a great conversation about the Bitcoin mining pieces that you guys put out. Welcome back. Hash rate up, hardware sales, advisory, hosting, and site brokerage. Find new and used ASIC deals through the website and the Telegram channel below. Make smarter decisions with Hashrate Up.
Thanks a lot, Jesse. It was a pleasure connecting the last time around. Had a lot of fun. And I hope that was great for your listeners and viewers. But great to be back.
It's always good energy. And you guys just made some huge announcements. So without further ado, we're going to jump straight in. First off, I mean, everybody by now that listens to this show should have heard the name. If not, we're not going to cover the brand or do all the basics. The people can do that themselves if they're interested, right? But maybe give us an update, Sanjay, first and foremost, around the positioning, the models that you guys offer today. I know a couple of things have changed there. And then please talk about the big announcement you guys made a couple of hours ago as of this recording regarding Upscale AI. Let's start there.
No, sure. Thanks a lot, Jesse. So as a kind of quick maybe reminder or awareness for anybody who's not aware, Auradine, we are a deep technology company based in Silicon Valley, California. And we have been focusing from the beginning on bringing the latest technology to Bitcoin mining, which we think is one of the big forces shaping the future of multiple continents and the world, you know, in the coming years. The other area that we've been focusing upon from an infrastructure point of view is around AI infrastructure and data center technology. There is an overlap in a number of cases where Bitcoin miners are also getting into the area around AI and high-performance compute, or HPC, as it's called. And within the company, we had deep expertise in designing semiconductor silicon, full systems, software stack around it. So for the past many months, we've been incubating a company which is focused upon pushing the boundaries of AI networking and connectivity of AI computational devices, or you know, GPUs and other AI accelerators. It is operating in stealth, but we've now separated that as a different company called Upscale AI. And we just announced $100 million seed round funding for Upscale AI. But that's a separate company, I'd say a closely affiliated sister company, but now a separate company from Auradine. And within Auradine, we're continuing to work in some targeted areas of AI and low power computational solutions for it.
How much are you growing the team to support Upscale AI? Or is this really going to shift focus away from the team at Auradine and sort of split it up a little bit?
No, not at all, Jesse. So we've actually got a very strong engineering team that we've built and grown in both the companies. So Upscale, it's AI itself has now got a sizable team in engineering, covering both hardware, software, and the like. In Auradine, at the same time, we've also been growing. So both the companies have been growing. We've kept the engineering team separate. There has been some commonality from an executive leadership point of view, but that also we've now got a separate CEO for Upscale AI, who was one of the co-founders of Auradine. And we've got the Auradine, you know, team focused upon Auradine. So there's no splitting or sharing that way or distraction of any type with from what we're focused on at Auradine.
Okay, very cool. The AI play is ever present these days. It's all about AI. And whenever I have these shows, this topic comes up very frequently. It's an ongoing question, and I still haven't made my mind up. You know, does Bitcoin mining add to AI loads? Does it make it easier for AI loads to be on the grid because you now qualify for more interconnections? Where do you stand on the does AI need Bitcoin mining, yes or no question?
Yeah, so Jesse, I think that what we've been in discussions with a number of our Bitcoin data center mining, you know, companies that have also got some operations or interest within AI and AI data center compute. One of the crossovers, which we think is a very interesting one and is probably sustaining, is that if you look at an AI data center for inference, typically, it does not take the same amount of power on a consistent basis. There's ups and downs of that. And Bitcoin mining, given its flexibility, and also given the technology that we at Autodyne have, it's called Energy Tune, where you can adjust the output across the entire fleet within seconds. You can adjust that so that you're having a consistent power draw across the combined AI and Bitcoin mining data center. And that is something which people have found to be very symbiotic, if I can call it that. And it's got, you know, value. Linked to that is that a number of companies, they've taken long-term contracts on energy and infrastructure to get the appropriate energy rates. So they have to take a fixed load, irrespective of whether they use it or not, to get the best economics around that. And there again, Bitcoin mining provides a very valuable source to be able to use. And then lastly, it's a little bit of an, it's a half serious, half lighter note, but some of the companies are saying, if you take a step back, right, philosophically, Jesse, both AI and Bitcoin mining, they convert energy into value, into real economic value of different types. And there's different times where the economics may be different across different areas. So you can say there's more value in converting that energy into Bitcoin mining today. Tomorrow, it may be AI. Day after tomorrow, again, could be Bitcoin. So there's an ability to then choose the most optimal conversion of power into economic value that I think Bitcoin mining can play a key role.
Yes, absolutely. It gives you more flexibility. What you just said is really, really interesting. So is that, maybe let's get into that a bit more. Is that Auradine Upscale AI native, the technology, the load balancing? Because really then, you know, I mean, the answer to my question is really obvious. With the announcement today, you guys obviously think it's a it's an interplay. It's not two separated markets, right? There's a lot of cohesion and a lot of overlapping factors. And obviously, yes, AI is also turning electrons into value and heat, right? It's just a lot more limited in regards to where you can do it, right? But yeah, let's maybe get into that a bit more, the load balancing, and maybe when we when can we expect sort of the first products to come out for Upscale AI? What do we expect there?
No, sure. So I would say that the two are interconnected, but also independent at the same time, right? So Upscale AI is coming out of stealth. They'll be announcing a very exciting range of products in the coming few months to do a data center infrastructure and networking within the AI space. What we had also announced for Upscale is that they're using open standards, which we think is going to be really important for the evolution of the AI data center industry. So it uses open standards around what is called scale up and scale out networking. And it's also using open standards for networking software. So areas, what is called like SONiC is one, an open standard that is used out there. So that's one dimension which Upscale AI will be having further announcements in the coming weeks and months. On the Auradine side, we've already developed technology that allows the ability to rapidly increase or reduce the power that is being consumed within Bitcoin mining without rebooting, which is very critical. And that can be done within seconds. We've also got software, cloud software technology, that allows for this load balancing between a Bitcoin and an AI data center, which can be deployed right away. And that can be deployed along with Upscale products, but it can also be deployed with for any AI data center that has got its own data center infrastructure for AI. So that's available right now, Jesse.
This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100 visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order. Very cool. Yeah, it's interesting. The competition is ever growing. Obviously, this is a Bitcoin mining channel, so let's stick with those questions for now. Competition is increasing. Sanjay, we have the rig announcement. We've got the Bitdeer announcements. There's ever more efficiency coming out of the two bigger mining manufacturers, Bitmain and MicroBT. Canaan as well, getting really good at manufacturing, producing top-class miners that are silent, run well, well-built. You know, the competition is gearing up. I'm sure I forgot someone. How do you guys plan to continue to stand out in all of this?
So Jesse, even if you take a step backwards on this, we were founded just around 3.5 years ago as Autodyne. And when we set out, there were actually a number of other companies in this area. There was, I think, 7 or 8 other companies that have since fallen by the wayside that do not exist anymore during that time. Mm-hmm. And a few of the reasons why we have continued to not just survive, but thrive and grow has been from day one, we put a big focus upon the need for the latest cutting edge technology, driving performance in terms of terahash per second and reducing the power, so measured in terms of joules per terahash. So we've been focused upon that very acutely. From day one, we are focused upon the latest semiconductor process nodes. We had our very first product range shipping in 4 nanometers, which was the world's first 4 nanometer product at the time. We are shipping in large quantities on 3 nanometers, and we're looking at even beyond 3 nanometers at present. So that is something that is continuing to be very strong. We've got a great ASIC semiconductor design team that is critical. The second thing that we focused upon, which we were a little bit surprised with, Jesse, to be honest, having come from a number of other industries like telecom, cybersecurity, and the like, but the bar for what we call quality was quite low. And like, you know, I know Jesse, you mentioned that some of the competitors are improving quality. That should not be an afterthought. You know, it's like saying, hey, you know, you want a miner that it's not dead on arrival or having a DOA. It does not have returns or RMAs in the first month or the first, you know, year. In case there's an issue, you should have somebody who can quickly respond. So the other factor, which also was a low bar, is customer support and customer service. So from day one, we've had a huge support focus on customer support where needed, the uptime, wide temperature operating range. So that's actually got us great feedback from the marketplace. And we think will continue to put us in good stead in the coming, you know, weeks and months versus the competition.
I remember you said that it just came to when you explained this about a year ago when we last recorded. I don't know when it was exactly, but back then we were also talking about build quality and customer service. You're right. I mean, we have to have higher standards to find acceptable, right? I would be curious, Sanjay, to understand and maybe to say this before I ask the question. You guys seem to really stand out with the thoughts around the software, right? You talk mm-hmm. about the load balancing. I know cool. also that when you order miners through Auradine or from Auradine, you can set the pool address before the miner arrives. You know, it's all of these small little details that seem really obvious once somebody does them. What do you think has been the most important sort of software factor that complements the miner that has stood out to customers now that you have a bit of experience with the machines being in the market?
No, sure. And, you know, we've now got tens of thousands of miners in the field running in different geographies, different temperature conditions, very good feedback across a range of customers. But I'd probably point out, you know, definitely one, but, you know, there probably are 2 or 3 areas that have stood out. One is what there is a firmware technology, what we call dynamic voltage and frequency scaling. In short, it's called DVFS. And what we do is that we monitor the voltage frequency and temperature of every chip on every hashboard. And we are using an AI type of an algorithm to optimize every chip, because every semiconductor chip is, even though they're designed alike, it's physics. So they behave a little bit differently, each one of them. So you may want to have one which operates at a slightly higher frequency. Another one is optimized at a slightly lower frequency. And that we actually dynamically adjust to get the best performance for each miner. So that is a unique software firmware feature that also links to our underlying hardware that we use, which has got some great feedback. The second is that we have integrated through our, we have a fleet management software that we integrate, but a number of miners want to do curtailment and demand management of power. And we thought about that upfront. We have an appropriate API connectivity into major players. They're called power purchase providers or intermediaries between the grid and the miner. So these include companies like Voltus and CPower that we are connected with and fully integrated to their software. So you as a miner, if you need to curtail, it's a seamless curtailment if you're using any of their software for curtailment as well. And then there's a lot of other standard features we do on firmware as well as on the fleet management software that people have found to be, have been quite distinctive.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you think you guys are going to steal any of the features that you've seen come out from other competitors to make your machine better?
So we always do benchmarking, Jesse. I would not use the word steal in any way. We don't take anybody's intellectual property if they have the appropriate intellectual property around it. We were a very, very strong team. This is heart of Silicon Valley. That's one of the benefits we had. We have a great founding team that has been able to attract top talent, and we continue to do that. Mm. But we continue to look at features that others are providing and what we think is most relevant in the marketplace. And we'll continue to do that. So if there's any feature that somebody says, oh, this is great feedback and we can do it, and it's not intellectual property protected, then we'll of course be incorporating that.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. You smartphones come out. I'm pretty sure no smartphone is going to be released without a camera, right? And I'm thinking in 5 years, I don't think we're going to see miners that have we're not going to see miners in 5 years anymore that don't have hot swappable fans, because it's just such an obvious improvement to the existing solution. I hear stories from an operator. Okay, now to fix a broken fan, right? They have to drive 4 hours to the site. Mm. Then they have to unwrap the miner, take it home, change the fan, put it back in the car, and it takes you 2 days, right? And it's just, it obviously can be made so much easier. So that's why I'm thinking, just like the shoebox format, everybody has adopted the shoebox format, right? Except maybe the hydros and the immersion stuff that's come out. But air-cooled miners all pretty much look the same. And I think they're sort of going to co-develop, right? It's no accident that the air-cooled machines look the way that they look. Very exciting. Sanjay, go ahead.
No, I was just commenting maybe two thoughts on that. One is that over the past couple of years, and we talked about this maybe briefly previously, but we now brought it to market. The shoebox form factor was not our favorite design. But what we heard from the marketplace was, especially for brownfield existing sites, they wanted a product that fits into the similar type of infrastructure. And in other industries, we've been more used to data center rack unit form factors. In the AI data centers, you're seeing much more use of now hydro or direct liquid cooling. But at the same time, Bitcoin, any of the hydro cooling was getting a bad name a few years ago because of poor quality, leaks and the like. So we actually set out to design a quality product from the ground up. We did that in it's a rack unit form factor. It's two rack units in a one hydro unit. We've got some very unique features that we've included in it for things like leak detection, which none of the other miners have. that we get. We have an LED display on the front where you can see different key parameters of the performance of the machine. You can adjust the flow rates. Some people want to use it for heat reuse, so you can actually adjust temperature in that flow as well. Smart. So there's just a lot of things we've done to bring this to market, which is a very different form factor. And you know, if I could say, watch this space, Jesse, on some other form factors for greenfield sites, even in the other areas of cooling as well.
Yeah, we, you know, months are years in this business. It moves so quickly. It's very tough to keep up. But this speaks, what you just said, speaks to me very, very nicely, because what I see looking at Bitcoin mining in Africa and in Northern Europe and in Texas, you just have so many different applications of how mining is used and how extra revenue is generated, right? And I think also last time we spoke about, you know, miners sort of specializing into certain fields, right? And one thing that I've always said is, okay, if you want to have a higher output on your hydro miner, why don't you just run the pump less slowly, you know? But then there's limitations and there's this and there's that. But I know you guys also have a big investor in Marathon, and I know they are also looking at mining around the world, obviously, and they have different use cases for their machines. And I'm sure you guys are closely aligned in that. And it's very exciting to see, right? You guys are only with Auradine only going to produce the ASIC store, right? None of the containers, none of the sort of racked units or transformers that other players in the industry produce.
Now, so what we have done, Jesse, in the recent up till now, we were selling Bitcoin mining machines and air cooled single phase immersion. We also had a two phase immersion solution as well at one point in time, and now the hydro or direct liquid cooling that is doing very well, getting strong interest. But what we've done is we've actually broadened the offering on two dimensions. On the one dimension, there's been some customers that have come and said, we want to design some new and unique form factors. It could be a small Bitcoin mining machine in your home. It could be linked to a heater. It could be using some other type of heat reuse. So we are now also making available our semiconductor chips and selling them directly to companies that want to do their own design of different form factor of Bitcoin miners. And that's something that we've actually got several customers that we are actively shipping to and are engaged with. And we support them technically from a chip point of view.
Well, this is great news for everybody producing BitAxes out there.
Yeah, so anybody wants to do that, you know, we're now open for selling, and we provide the appropriate support documentation because that's critical. Otherwise, you know, you just cannot give the semiconductor chips and say all the best, you know, with this. There are some engagements. So we're actually doing that. So you want to do that. Any of your listeners want to have some other form factors, they can contact us, right? That's one. The second is some customers said, look, you know, we want to be in this area, but we would want more of a turnkey solution. And give us a turnkey solution. And there we don't manufacture the containers ourselves, but we partnered with container and full infrastructure companies where somebody wants a 1 megawatt full solution or a 2.4 megawatt solution, which is where these typically come in, 1.2 or 2.4 megawatts. We provide the full container package along with our machine. So let's say you're taking a hydro, you know, installation. We can provide you a full 2.4 megawatt. You can replicate that four times to come to 9.6 megawatt. And you can start Bitcoin mining very quickly. So that is another product range that we have announced also recently. And we're already now working with key customers around that.
Fantastic. Is Auradine going to produce GPUs for AI, Sanjay? I'm not sure if you hinted at that earlier with Upscale AI and what the range is going to be with Upscale AI, or if that's even, you know, public or all fully announced yet. But I'm thinking if Auradine does the hardware for the compute, and maybe that's something that falls in the Auradine camp.
Yeah. So what we do is so again, I would never say never, and you know, of course, future product roadmap is the product roadmap. Where we have focused on both within Auradine and Upscale is that there's a number of companies that are already in the GPU market. And we did not want to be yet another company in the GPU area. What we did in the case of Upscale, for a brief plug on Upscale, is that the analogy that I'd give is, think about the GPU like being the fast car. And you already have a number of people providing the fast car. What is often overlooked are the highways and the connections. So you can have a car that can drive at 100 miles an hour, but if the roads and the highways are not capable of supporting 100 miles an hour, you're only going to be driving at 20 miles an hour. So we are actually providing that full highway connectivity infrastructure, which connects into these different, GPUs. And we provide them so that it's a very open way that you can actually do it with any type of car or GPU, using the same analogy. So that's what you're focused upon. What we've also found is that, Bitcoin mining technology, it's actually interesting, and maybe this is a shout out for all the Bitcoin miners out there, is sometimes some people in the technology world, they feel that AI is at the forefront of technology, which in a number of cases it is. But the reality is that Bitcoin mining, given its need for energy efficiency, given the innovation that the Bitcoin miners have brought, is actually the cutting edge of semiconductor technology. So you have a lot of techniques to reduce the power consumption in Bitcoin mining that are probably ahead of the AI industry by 18 to 24 months, by our estimations. There's even cooling technologies. If you talk about the direct liquid cooling that we've already shipping in the market, that is only coming to AI data centers recently. AI data centers are talking about 150, 200, 300 megawatt racks. Mm-hmm. In our hydro-cooled mining system, we're already at that level. So there's a number of technologies that are actually ahead of the world of AI. So we're actually trying to bring some of those technologies and bring them to the AI market as well, Jesse, within all of that.
You know the BitX, the open source miner that everybody is talking about? At solomining.de, you will find the BitX, an absolute top quality built made in Germany. Prefer a color display? That's the NerdX. If you want the real power, the Nerd QX++ with four chips is the one for you. All devices ship worldwide, ready to plug and play. Visit solomining.de to get started mining now. What do you think is the lowest hanging fruit? If you say, okay, we built the infrastructure, we built the highway to make sure that your Porsche can actually drive as fast as it can. What's the lowest hanging fruit there, just to give viewers a bit more of a, even further reduced than I am from the topic? What's the lowest hanging fruit there to make the car go as fast as it can, or help it to?
Yeah, so in the case of AI, right, just touching upon that for a moment, you often have these AIs, they consume vast amounts of memory and they have a lot of computational needs. Usually one GPU or one AI accelerator, as it's called, does not provide that full amount. So it's shared across different number of GPUs. And the ability to connect multiple GPUs in one coherent way so that it operates as one unit is a big driver. And that is something that we're actually providing technology for on the Upscale AI side of the equation. And then from a simplistic point of view, there's a number of operators who are very good in data center infrastructure, right, in the Bitcoin side. And what they're saying is, look, this technical complexity is fine, but what we want is we want a full rack. Like we have a rack of Bitcoin miners, we want a rack of AI compute. And that AI compute rack should have the best performance and the best economics. So we're focusing upon reducing the total cost of ownership and making it a simple plug and play. You want a full rack with the best total cost of ownership on the AI side, we can provide that through Upscale AI. And then you want the best total cost of ownership on the Bitcoin mining side, then we provide, as said, both the Bitcoin miners and the full turnkey solutions on that side as well.
Do you think that similar to, and you said Bitcoin mining is in many ways ahead of AI, do you think that AI is going to go through the same process where we're going to have ASICs for AI and specific applications instead of GPUs? And then follow-up question, what's going to happen to all the GPUs out there?
Yeah, so I think that the area around AI compute will continue to evolve, Ajay. So we've seen that in the case of Bitcoin mining. There were GPUs involved in Bitcoin mining years ago, as probably remember.
Yeah, exactly.
When there are the early days ASICs, and now there's these latest ASICs on 3 nanometers and heading to 2 nanometer process nodes. Right? Now, in the case of AI, that's it's quite possible that you'll have the world evolve in that particular way as well. What people are doing, though, as I said, is, including us, is providing this interconnect across the GPUs to make them even more powerful. But that market can continue to evolve, right? And it probably will. And whenever any one cycle evolves, it then, you know, it the old generation is used for a period of time, and then obviously it's phased out, like was done in the case of Bitcoin mining. But the areas that I think that will endure, right, is the need for cooling technologies. In Bitcoin mining, we're pushing the boundaries of cooling technology. In Bitcoin mining, we're pushing the boundaries of energy efficiency. Not to get too technical, but we operate these semiconductor chips at very low voltages, lower than what is usually common for ASIC semiconductors. And we then, you know, design proprietary technology around it. So we're pushing the boundaries of that. And we think that some of those applications may be relevant in the world of AI as well, that will come to that market. And then, of course, you know, I'm not an AI GPU expert. So, you know, I think you'll probably have other guests who may be able to comment more upon the exact future of the AI GPU industry.
I mean, you're much closer to it than I am, and I'm very happy that I have the chance to ask you these questions. But yeah, I mean, it's an ever standing topic, and I don't think it's going to go away because I use AI every single day, and there's sure. a reason why many others do as well, right? Maybe last topic before we head into the quick fire rounds, Sanjay. Geopolitical risk and supply chains. Now, mm-hmm. I know you guys made in America, miner. How has the tariff turmoil, and now that the fog is sort of calming down a little bit, there's a bit more clarity maybe than there was 6 months ago. How has that been for you guys, all of the tariff drama?
No, sure. And I would say not just tariffs, just overall geopolitics. So from day one, you know, we are a US-based company. Intellectual property is in the US. Then our designs are all based here. The one thing which I remember I pointed out even last time, which is really think is a bit odd, is that, you know, Bitcoin is a decentralized protocol. And that is one of the big benefits and the attractive, you know, points of it. It's also a very secure protocol. So, you know, again, it's never been hacked successfully. And that is one big element of it. However, if you look on the Bitcoin mining equipment and hardware, it's actually the reverse, where the supply has been highly concentrated. And it's highly concentrated, not just among a couple of companies, but even these are all companies originating out of China. And you said, how does that make sense for a decentralized protocol to have such a concentrated supply? I think that's a big risk to the protocol overall. Besides, the second is that we've been getting questions and inquiries inbound from different people, including policymakers, where you have a large number, and this I'm talking US specific, you know, concern, where you have a very large number of now hardware with Chinese firmware, which is connected to the US electrical grid. And in the case of other industries, there's been industries like telecom, where that's been a concern. And there's well-publicized cases around it. It's been a concern in the area of drones, where drones are deployed. It's been a concern in the area of connected vehicles or autonomous vehicles, where there's restrictions on what software from non-US countries can be operate in the US. At the same time, none of that has happened in the case of Bitcoin mining. And maybe just, you know, you've seen a lot of people have not been fully aware of it, but I think they're getting sensitized to that concern more and more. There was a recent press article which talked about a well-known and influential congressman who's written to the CFIUS committee, which controls foreign investment, to look at or suggest that from a national security point of view, this be looked at. And the US is a very large consumer, of course, of Bitcoin mining. Right? So there's relevant elements around that. From our point of view, we continue to focus upon the best performance, best quality, best customer support. So we're not hanging our hat on geopolitics. But at the same time, if I was in the shoes of a Bitcoin miner, and I have been on the other side of the fence, and I've been in that in other industries too, I would want to think hard, long and hard about diversifying my supply base and thinking about this geopolitical risk, you know, very carefully.
Yeah, especially as you get into the bigger numbers and you have shareholder value to create and all of that fun stuff, right? Did it affect your pricing at all? Because yes, the intellectual property is in the US, but I mean, a lot of the parts still come from outside the US, right? So how did you guys handle that?
Yeah, no, so we're trying to work on that to keep the economics still very competitive for the miners. We design our own semiconductors. So those come in, you know, from different parts. There's only a few places around the world where the semiconductors can come in from. And then we've got a diversified supply chain and manufacturing base. We do some of the finished manufacturing in the US as well. We can shift more of that to the US, but it's in multiple geographies. So far we've been actually riding with it. The area that's actually worked has been a challenge more is when there's uncertainty, Jesse, versus, you know, certainty. So whatever the tariff regime is, as long as there's certainty and there's a clear playing field, then we and our customers have been able to, you know, react to that.
Okay, perfect. Sanjay, let's head into the quickfire round here. And then I'm going to give you a chance to just hand people off to find more about Upscale AI and Auradine. What is the most underrated factor in Bitcoin mining today?
The most underrated factor in Bitcoin mining? I think the area of, you know, the fact that this is at the forefront of innovation, Jesse, that we've talked about, I think the Bitcoin mining community should be really proud of and say that, look, we are at the forefront of technological innovation around the world.
Almost like F1 racing. The single biggest misconception about Auradine?
One element that sometimes people think about is that, you know, we are in the, you know, just crypto market, right? And therefore we're involved in decentralized finance or otherwise. And we quickly then say, no, we're a deep technology company. We do the picks and shovels, the bits and bytes of the industry. But, you know, we're not here because, you know, when there was a bad name a little bit around crypto, not in Bitcoin, but in other areas a few years ago, people said, oh, you know, maybe you're engaged with all of these crypto exchanges that suddenly went out of business. Yeah. So that was one misconception that we've been, you know, working on ensuring that
working
anybody
who's doing
that does not have that perception.
All right. If you could collaborate with any company outside of mining, who would it be? You cannot say Upscale AI.
No, sure. And we are, you know, we're actually at the forefront of collaborating with others. But, you know, we have, if it's an industry outside of it, there are industries we admire. Companies. I admire, you know, NVIDIA. I admire Apple. I would love to collaborate with them. And, you know, in some cases, we actually have collaborated with them on some topics that, you know, maybe for another day that we can talk about.
Yeah, next time. One word to describe the future of Bitcoin mining.
Exciting. I think it's exciting.
I agree. Most exciting place where an Auradine machine is hashing today.
Most exciting place. Thinking about. So there's a couple of areas. There's actually some parts in Scandinavia that are testing the miners in some extreme conditions, including some heat reuse conditions that is currently being deployed at present.
Nice. All right. And what brand, last but not least, what brand is Auradine most influenced by, would you say?
What brand are we most influenced by? So here I think that we did talk about some of the enduring, you know, companies that have lasted through technology cycles over a long period of time. And I'd call out, you know, a couple of the companies that have actually done that through long cycles. So one company is like Microsoft, where Microsoft, it came up, did remarkably well. And then there's a phase where there's a lot of technology transition, and then it's reemerged and is doing even stronger and better. It's one of the few companies now that is, you know, among the top market valuations in the world. So if I look at that from innovation and endurance, that's one company that comes to mind.
Lovely. Sanjay, where can people find more about Auradine, more about you? Where do you engage the best? And where can they find more about Upscale AI as well?
Sure. So on the Auradine side, we have a website. It's www.auradine, AURADINE.com. The second is that we actually like to connect with key customers and key prospects directly. So anybody can reach out to me. I'm at Sanjay@Autodyne.com. And I've got my business development team, sales team, product team that we can be put people in touch with. And then we engage very actively on social media, on both LinkedIn, where we have a LinkedIn handle for Autodyne, and we have an X, or you know what was previously called Twitter, a handle as well, where we actively engage in. So that's on the Autodyne side. On the Upscale side, there's a website. It's called www.upscaleai.com. And that would be probably the best place to get information on. They also have social media handles, but maybe the website is the best starting point.
For now, yeah. All right, Sanjay, it's always very lovely to talk to you. I could listen to you for hours. I hope to do this very soon again. And then maybe we could talk about the Apple collaboration.
Yeah, you know, it's and again, I don't want to make anything. I just think these are companies I love and admire. It's been a pleasure. It's always, I love it when you connect, love the style, and love your audience base as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Sanjay. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you.